بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم الحمد لله in this period we'll be doing this kitab and we started already over the last 20 days. Today we'll just do a very, very brief summary of what we have covered in these few days. This kitab is the kitab Anwarus Salah, which was the bayan of Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullahi, a very great mujahid of his time, fought against the British in India and even became Shaheed. So he gave this bayan. And then Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullahi, who was the Khalifa of the Sheikh Rahmatullahi, he saw this bayan, he was impressed. And many other ulama were impressed and they decided this bayan must be written down. So they put it in book form. And then Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullahi gave some, for few advisors, few important points. He just gave brief explanation to that. So this is the bayan of Sufi Iqbal Sahib of Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullahi. And this is such a beautiful kitab that if a person just pays attention and listens attentively and try and bring these sabaks and these lessons that we learn in this bayan, try and implement it in our life, then we'll see the greatest action after, the greatest thing after iman is ibadat. And from ibadat, the greatest ibadat is our salah. If we correct our salah, our whole deen will come right. If we correct our deen, then our whole dunya will come right. Deen and dunya is made, akhirat will be made obviously. Today we are putting the cart before the horse. We first want our dunya to be made. When my shop, everything is running okay, then I'll start becoming punctual at my salah, etc. It doesn't work that way. The system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, first get your deen in order. And then Allah ta'ala promises, Allah ta'ala will make your dunya in order also. So it's very, very important that we work towards improving our salah. And we are very, very fortunate, and we can't make enough shukr to our honorable illustrious Shaykh Hazmana Shah Lamid Sahib Madazil Ali, that Hazrat has taught this kitab many, many years ago. And when Hazrat decided that what kitab should be prescribed, while he was looking into his books, into his kutubkhana, into his bookshelf, and his library, Allah Ta'ala made him take out this kitab, a small kitab, but so effective, that it has changed the lives of many people. So this is a kitab, so to say, ilham, Allah inspired in the heart of our Shaykh, that this kitab should be prescribed. And we find generally, Mashayikh also, from old days also, they used to have a special period, teaching their Murideen, people who come, all year we have come here, as Hazrat explained yesterday also, basically it's not just, our object is not just itikaf, that we just spend time, make tilawat, make our namaz, etc. We have come here mainly, which is the object of roza also, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, to gain taqwa, that is to gain the love of Allah. And we can't gain the love of Allah without our islah, without our spiritual reformation. And spiritual reformation can only take place with a spiritual guide, with a sheikh. And here Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. It is only the kindness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In this time and age, such a great sheikh we have in our midst, we should appreciate and make qadr and take advantage of the situation. So Allah Ta'ala has brought us here, so we should really appreciate this and realize that this period that we are having are extremely important. If a person just attends this, and in this few days, before we know, the days are gone. In this few days, if we just pay attention, we'll see the eagerness will come into our hearts, that when I go home, I must start having ta'lim of all these things. And 5-10 minutes, we start with ta'lim, and we'll increase it slowly. We'll see the difference in our homes, in our lives, etc. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to realize. So very briefly, we'll just give a very, very brief summary of what we have discussed already, because we don't have much time, few days left, and then the last day before, inshallah, we'll do a practical namaz also, to see that if our outward namaz also is correct. So this is very important. So in this, the bayan here, in the introduction first of all, Hazrat Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullah has explained, that very, very important, if a person wants the reality of deen, if he wants the reality of life, then very, very important, he should tread the path of suluk. Suluk means threading the path to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in these days it is called tasawuf. Tasawuf actually, that is referring to the Sufis. Sufis were those people who were not, were disinclined from dunya. They were not really concerned of this world. So much so, they used to live a simple life, wear simple clothes, but they were engaged in the ibadat of Allah, engaging in recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, you have to tread this path of suluk, and what is the object and purpose of treading this path of suluk? Like a person becomes bi'at at the hands of a sheikh, what is the object and purpose? The main object is raza'i ilahi. To get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main object and purpose of our life. And as Hazrat explained, that we should make our niyat. Today many of us ponder and think, this morning did I make a niyat, why am I living today? Or since I'm living, till today did I make a niyat and a purpose of my life, why am I living? I just get up, I do my routine, I make my wuzu, etc. So even if I'm punctual at namaz, I go for my salah, I come back, have my breakfast, go to my work, and this is my routine. Did I make my object and purpose of life? What is my object and purpose of life? Our object and purpose of life is to find Allah, to recognize Allah, and to love for the pleasure of Allah. And then where to meet Allah? In akhirat. So we have to love to make our akhirat. This is our object and purpose of life. That is our main object. Then for every ibadat, whatever we do, then again we should be conscious, what is my object? I have come here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did I come? I came for itikaf, to find Allah, like a person knocking at the door of a very generous person. He won't leave that door, and he knows this generous person, when he opens the door, he will just bless me with so much favors. So we have come here at the door of the creator of generosity. Allah Rabbul Izzat, the kings of all kings. So we should make our niyat now and daily be conscious of niyat is the foundation. You put up a beautiful building, but you don't have a foundation. How long is that building going to stand? It will blow away with one wind. So we have to see that we have made our niyat. So to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get an internal nisbat, an internal connection with Allah ta'ala. As you gain the recognition of Allah, then you just can't help falling in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this cause here, and taking bi'at to a sheikh, and getting connected to a spiritual guide, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will thread us on this path, and teach us about Allah, and connect us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person gets connected to Allah, and he builds a special connection with Allah, now he'll be all the time in the thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how to remain all the time in the thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now you'll be having fikr and you'll be having concern that I must be worried. What are those things that will please my Allah? What will make my Allah ta'ala happy? What will displease my Allah? That I must stay away from the displeasure of Allah. Not for a moment must I fall in the trap that Allah ta'ala becomes displeased with me. As we make in our zikr also, hey, narazgi jiski dozak se barkar. 1 minute Allah gets unhappy with us is worse than being thrown in the fire of Jahannam. So we should be worried and concerned. So this worry and concern comes when that nisbat start coming. When you get that, consciousness that I must build my contact with Allah. I must build, and that today we want contact with everybody. Ordinary counselor in our town, we want a contact with him. Or we want a contact with some minister. And if you got a contact with the state president, or you feel elated that I got a real contact, all those contacts are useless and they'll break any moment. And when you really need it, it doesn't come to your assistance. The real contact which we have come here to learn and to build is the contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person builds this contact, then to love in the happiness of Allah, to love in the obedience of Allah is not a duty. It's not just a responsibility, and far from it being a burden, it's an enjoyment. You just enjoy to live in the happiness of Allah. You enjoy to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how to get this enjoyment, and how to get this obedience of Allah, we have to learn what is that. And that is the Shariat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shariat tasawuf is not separate from Shariat. Shariat and tasawuf, they go together. As our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Maqsood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that our tasawuf is mudallal. It is totally proven according to Sharia.
And that is our tasawuf. Tasawuf is not what we think something else, that we'll just come here, make nice zikr, and go in a trance and see some different lights in it. That is not tasawuf. That is not sharia. Without sharia, you won't be on tasawuf. So you'll be in a dream world, and you can't get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And sharia is very simple. Allah Ta'ala has sent Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specially to demonstrate to us how to love on sharia. Sharia is Quran Sharif and the Hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on our own, we cannot understand this. We need a practical demonstrator, and Allah Ta'ala has sent Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why in ibadat, the greatest of all ibadat is salah. If you correct your salah, as I've mentioned, all your deen, all your other ibadat will come right. And if you correct all your ibadat, your deen will come right, your dunya will come right. And in deen also, it's not just ibadat. As we're learning after many periods, there are different departments of deen. The department of aqaid we learn in the morning. Then after zohr we learn the department of mamulat, our trade dealings, etc. Then our muasharat, our social living with one another, our ibadat, etc. Our akhlaq which we learn at night. All this put together makes up sharia. So when a person puts all this together, then see the enjoyment of life is something else. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out to demonstrate this perfect way. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not leave any stone unturned in demonstrating this beautiful way of life. That is why when somebody inquired from Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that just give us an idea what was the character of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In two beautiful words she replied, which is a whole encyclopedia that she have given. That kana khuluku al-Qur'an. That the Qur'an-i Kareem, the sharia which Allah Ta'ala wants us to love upon, look at the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you learn to lead your life accordingly, then you will be on this part of Qur'an Sharif. And today Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not in front of us, but Allah has made the system. There is a chain, there is a link that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba. Sahaba taught the Tabi'een, they taught the Tabi'een, and this link came down till today we have our Ustaz, our Mashayikh, that they have got their connection, which if you learn from them, it is indirectly, we are learning directly from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this message for the Ummah till the day of Qiyamah, that Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Perform Salah as though you saw me performing Salah. How you saw me performing Salah, that is how you must perform Salah. Which means that Salah we have to learn practically. Today we learn everything about computer courses. We learn how to use this gadget, that gadget, and we get astonished. Hey, this iPhone can do this for me. This tablet can do this for me. This machine works like this. That thing works like that. And we're so astonished. Wallah, if we learn our Salah and see what Salah will do for us, then we'll understand what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that qurratu ayni fi salah, the coolness of my eyes, which is proverbial. That means if I get enjoyment, I only really get enjoyment in salah, because at that time now I'm in the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, the introduction Hazrat explained here, that the object and purpose of life, the pleasure of Allah, and gaining this connection with Allah Ta'ala, then a person will be conscious that all the time I must be in the zikr, in the remembrance of Allah. That is in the obedience of Allah. And all the time in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does this mean, all the time in the ibadat of Allah, which Allah Ta'ala has created us for that? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I've created man and jinn for my ibadat. That means to recognize Allah. To recognize Allah, and then every moment what you are doing, you will think that am I doing this, or is Allah happy with me or not? Like Hazrat has taught us so much, even controlling our tongues, a person will think that what has motivated me to say this? Is Allah happy that why I said this? Even sometimes we joke with our friend, we want to taunt him. So that motivation was totally incorrect. To joke is no problem. But if you joke to taunt the person, then that is totally haram, it's not permissible. So all this consciousness comes in a person. So this reality will come when we realize we have to work on the greatest ibadat, that is salah. And when we try and bring our salah into order, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us. All these things will come in order. And to realize the value, the greatness of salah, that is why this period starts from 11 o'clock with the fazail, learn the importance of the virtues of salah, etc. then the masail of salah, etc., then correcting our tajweed, all this are very, very important aspects to build towards not just correcting our salah, it will correct our whole deeds. And then when a person realizes this reality, that salah, how important is it, how necessary is it, then a person realizes that Allah Ta'ala teaches us, قَدْ أَفْلَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. What everybody is desiring, and as our Shaykh said so beautifully, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a deen according to our desire. In every person's heart here, if we look down in our heart, what is our desire? I must be a successful man. I must be successful, my children, everybody, we must be a successful family. And that is what Allah Ta'ala desires. But unfortunately, we are looking for success where it doesn't lie. And Allah Hazrat gives a beautiful example, like that old man, his only wealth was, and his only capital was one gold coin. And wherever he went, today we regard our wealth more important than our deen, so sad, more important than our iman. So all the time we worried of our wealth, our money, etc. So this old man taking his gold coin with him all the time, his friend invited him, that come stay at my house one day. His friend also a poor man, living in a small hut, in a small shanty, what we will say a squatter camp. He went to sleep the night with his friend. Middle of the night, his eyes open up. The first thing he's checking his pocket, where's my gold coin? When he realized, oh, I must out, my gold coin is not here. Now, he was very, very worried. And he started hunting, looking for the gold coin. It's too dark in that room. He can't see anything. So he goes out of that room, worried, concerned. He sees a bright street light opposite the road. So he says, oh, there's bright light. He starts looking there. His friend wakes up after a while. Where's my friend? He goes out, he looks, oh, there's my friend. What's wrong? A friend in need is a friend indeed. That he starts helping him. I lost my gold coin. Where's after 15, 20 minutes, it's normal that you'll ask where you lost it. He says, no, I think I lost it there where I slept in your room last night. Why are you looking for it here? He says, here there's bright lights in your room, there's no lights. He says, oh, my friend, you'll look here till the cows come home. Till Qiyamah, you won't find it here. Let's go back in the room. There might not be lights, but spread your hands. It might take you half an hour. Spread your hands right round in the whole room. You'll find it there. Today we're looking for success in big, big degrees. We're looking for success in the shopping malls. We're looking for success in our businesses. We're looking for success in big, big positions, government positions, etc. Allah Ta'ala says it doesn't lie there. Where it lies and where you will get it, Allah made special arrangements that Allah appointed special inviters to remind us that come here, here is your success. And where is that? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah says, definitely the believers are successful. Who are those believers? Who are these true believers? That they are concerned of the most important ibadat after they have brought iman. They are concerned of their salah. That is, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are standing in salah with khushu and khudu, with total humbleness, with concentration, with devotion. In this way they come and perform their salah. Such people, they are successful already. And this word success, Imam Raghib Asfahani rahmatullahi, a very great mufassir of Quran, has mentioned that there can't be a word that is more encompassing in meaning like the word success in Arabic. He says this word falah in Arabic means every type of success you are looking for. Whether success in this world, in any matter of your life, success in your deen, success in your dunya, success in every aspect of your life, you will find it in this word. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that if you correct your salah, definitely you get success in every aspect of your life. And so to correct the salah, we have to inculcate this quality of khushu and khudu, that is concentration, devotion in salah. That is, a person realizes that I must have a salah of life. One is, a person has a body and a person doesn't have no ruh in that body. Nobody wants to, after 2-3 days you get tired of that body, he can be your most beloved. You say this body is going to blow up, it's going to start stinking, go and put it in a qabristan. So without life, what's the good of that body? And that ruh needs a body also. So the body also is necessary, but more important is the ruh. So every aspect of deen also has got an outward body, our outward form of salah. Today we are all performing salah, but there's no reality of our salah. Like Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala mentions, on one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house or masjid, wherever, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked up to the sky. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, with very painful heart, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala is open up to me now, that knowledge will be lifted from the sky, will be lifted from the earth. So a sahabi, Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala, he asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that how will this happen? That we are teaching, we have learned, we are learning from you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We teaching our children will teach their children, and the silsila will carry on. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala, I taught you a very intelligent person. But don't you see, in the time, the previous generations, that is the Bani Israel, Jews and Christians, they also taught their children and they taught, but how they distorted the Shariat of Allah Ta'ala. How they changed the kitabs. The reality of Torah didn't remain. The reality of Injil didn't remain. So exactly the same, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is drawing our attention that outward knowledge will be there. Big, big institutions also, Darul Ulooms also. Lot of it, and today's time, they can't be, we can't imagine in the history of the world, there were so many institutions. There were so many ways of learning knowledge. So many people today boast that I've got a chip that has got 500 bayans and 2000 bayans and all this. But the reality is not in us. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned this fact in another hadith that سَيَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. A time will come in the ummah, nothing will be left of Islam, just beautiful names. Beautiful names, Ahmad, Muhammad, Amina, Fatima, but no Islam in that person. Hazrat gives a beautiful example of this. Hazrat says, if you take a Coca-Cola bottle, he says, I'm not giving the masala, Coke is poison, don't even touch it. It will cause you great harm. But if you take a Coca-Cola bottle and put black vinegar in there, and you give it to your friend, and he gets happy, and he likes his Coke, and he just takes one sip, he'll swear you, and he'll spit it out, that's what you gave me. So today, we have just got a picture of Islam. Outward picture, no reality. And this picture, like you tell your child, a lion is very dangerous. But when he goes to the preschool and the teacher gives him a coloring book to color a lion, first he gets scared, hey, this lion is dangerous. But as he starts coloring, he sees this lion, it can't do me nothing. So he cuts the tail of the lion, he pokes the lion with his pencil, he says, what can this lion do? Obviously, what can the lion do? It's just a picture. It can't do anything. Today, how we are being massacred in the world. Myself, all of us, we have to ponder and think. Are we just pictures? Or you get a lion that's in the zoo, but he's in the cage. He's a loving lion. It's there. Don't poke fun with a lion. He's dangerous. But children, as they go, they start throwing stones, poking. They say, what can the lion do? He's in the cage. He can't do. Hazrat says today, even today, Muslims, many practicing Muslims, but we like in the cage. You want to go Hajj, you want to go Umrah, we are forced to take a passport photo. To take photos is totally haram. This is out of necessity. And when you take a passport photo also, you shouldn't be smiling and be happy and wearing smart clothes and showing. No, that time also take that photo of necessity, but make tawbah, make istighfar. That, but when the lion is loose in the jungle, then see what that lion will do. So Allah Ta'ala give us reality, that if we bring this reality in our salah, and all our ibadat, today all our ibadat has just become outward. That even our qurbani, we'll just say, Mufti sahab, I can send my money, Malawi, they need lot of meat there, India, they need, they are suffering. Mufti sahab will say it will be done. But the spirit of qurbani, to sacrifice our life for Allah, where are we going to get there? The spirit of Hajj, the spirit of Zakat, to go and go to the poor people, distribute it, we don't get there. That is why it is mentioned here that the time will come, the masjid will be full, but there will hardly be a person who will have concentration and devotion in his salah. Allah Ta'ala save us all. And concerning that salah, Allah Rabbul Izzat has mentioned, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, their curse and destruction upon such people who read salah. So salah, whenever it came, as we explained in the beginning also, our Shaykh said that, our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah, he said, our tasawuf is mudallal, is proven by Shariat. Hazrat Mu'anam, Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, in every ayat of Quran Sharif, there is every department of deen mentioned. If we only understand. For example, he gave a beautiful example, simple ayat, Aqimis Salata li Zikri. Establish namaz for my remembrance. When Allah Ta'ala talks about salah, then Allah Ta'ala generally uses the word aqim is salah. establish namaz, not sallu salah. Ya Allah Ta'ala is saying for wailul lil musallin. So me and you, we have to ponder and think, am I just in this category that I'm musallin, just reading my salah, or am I establishing my namaz? To establish something, you have to know the nitty gritty of that. You have to know the details of that thing in order to do it properly. And if you don't know the details, you'll just do it like a youngster. You give him a work, he doesn't know it. He thinks, I did this work properly. But the father knows he hardly did anything. Just to keep him busy, he gave him some work. So when you know how to do that work and you are conscious and you try your best to improve all the time, that is establishing something. So to establish our salah, to learn every aspect of our salah from our istinja, how to prepare for salah, all these things. So Hazrat says, let us not fall in that category that Allah Ta'ala's destruction and curse is upon us. That our salah is thrown back like a dirty rag, as we learn in front. So anyway, for example, every department of deen is in one ayah. Hazrat said, Aqim is salah. That Allah Ta'ala says, establish namaz. Now to establish namaz, you have to know the basic fundamentals of namaz. How to make istinja, how to make wuzu, what are the farais of namaz, all this. And Allah Ta'ala's fazal, kind of karam, our parents, grandparents and our asatiza, we can't make enough shukr, they have established makatibs in our country. These makatibs are the foundation of our survival of deen. And because of the barakat of the maktabs, that today we see that we are still conscious of deen. And the enemies are working that these maktabs be saturated and taken out. And sadly, we are falling prey to these things. And we see what's the condition of society today. Those people who know, elders here who attended the maktab right till class 10, even after that, if they didn't, were not really attached to deen, but they had love for the ulama, they have respect for the ulama, because they knew what we learned in the maktab. So in the maktab, from this ayat, it is established the necessity of the maktab. How important, without the maktab, where are you going to know the how to make istinja properly? Where are you going to know the rules of wuzu, etc.? So the maktab is extremely necessary, extremely important. After that, you see, when a person generally leaves the maktab, then he gets involved in his business, etc. Some people forget all their masail. Some people so involved in dunya, they forget their method of reading namaz, and they even become lazy, don't come to the masjid. Now, from this ayat, it is established that you need the tabligh jamaat to go and remind them, to call them, make them conscious that your deen is important. Deen is more important. Now a person gets fikr again, he realizes, no, I must get connected to deen. Now he starts coming to the masjid, etc. Now, when a person starts coming to the masjid, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali said, that jamaat that just goes out all the time, and don't have taaleem, and don't have zikr in that jamaat, even if it's half an hour taaleem, and even if their basic zikr, third kalima, guru sharif, astaghfar, if they don't make it daily, then that is just awara, they're just loafing around. There's no reality of that. So even in their Hazrat taught the importance of taaleem. So now when you come, when the jamaat brings you, you come get connected again to the masjid, you realize, I must start revising my masail again. I must start getting connected to the ulama. Now when you know your basic masail, you start reading namaz, now a person becomes conscious that I'm just reading namaz. Where's the reality of my namaz? Now from this it is established that we need the khankas. Go to the mashayikh and let them put life in our ibadah. And when we come here and we get connected to Allah, and when we get life, then see the enjoyment of ibadah is something else. Then a person is in the close, he is talking to Allah Ta'ala. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Now all my desires have gone. Ab aja ya Allah, you come to me now. And you see this connection with Allah. So Sufi Iqbal Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that there are five things first before we understand this bayan, we should try and bring it into our lives and inculcate it, and then we'll see. The first important aspect to bring life in all our ibadat in our life is we have to do a cause in the marifat, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. And for that we need, Allah Ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman fasal bi khabira. You want to know who is Rahman, who is so kind in the existence of Rahman, the demand of the mercy of Allah, we are existing here. So learn who Allah Ta'ala is, how kind, the generosity of Allah, the greatness of Allah, Allahu Akbar, the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, where you will learn this? First, Albi Khabira, jo ba khabar hai, those who know about Allah. And here we got a great sheikh of the time. Second to none in the zamana, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with our hearts open, we should learn and make niyat and dua that to Allah, that nur of marifat or that nur of ihsan, your presence in the heart of our sheikh, that love, that fire of love, let it penetrate my heart also. So the first thing we have to do, a cause in the marifat of Allah, and what that they will teach us, a cause in zikrullah. That how to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is we think we finish our tasbih and we made our zikr. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Like if a person learns, Hazrat gives a beautiful example that if somebody tells you you want your wife to love you, say yes. Say go read 100 times tasbih by her name. Take her name. If her name is Fatima, now you stand with a tasbih, she is cooking. Fatima, Fatima, Fatima. You're finishing your 100 tasbih. She'll fall in love or she'll get more mad with you. She'll tell you, making a mockery. So we learn we have to read 100 times Allah, Allah, or 100 times La ilaha illallah, and we're finishing our tasbih. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. No reality. Sometimes as I say, we are half sleepy. La ilaha, we never complete illallah. And we're sleeping. And we get up again. La ilaha. So we only there is no deity besides Allah, aliyazubillah. So learn how to name. Hazrat says, when you learn what love, and how to take the name of your wife, that she is also on the bed, you also laying and you tired, she is also tired, but you desired for a cup of tea at night, and now you want that cup of tea. What love if you tell her, Fatima, just go make a cup of tea. She'll melt. She'll forget her tiredness also and she'll go. So when we learn how to take the name of Allah, then see the enjoyment beside. Forget in namaz, out of namaz, we'll be thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the cause of marifat, zikrullah, and then practical salah. This is the first important aspect. Secondly, Hazrat says, then now you will realize when you start your salah and every ibadat, make your niyat correct. Solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radha ilahi, and as Hazrat explained, that when you got one Allah, you're doing everything only for Allah. Now you have got the number one in front. And then after that, our ibadat, our actions are so weak, where it can be worth being accepted. Our doing it, Allah will accept, my banda came. But as far as value is concerned, quality, it's still like zero. But if you got one and you put a zero in front, what it becomes? 10. Add another ibadat, it becomes 100. Add another ibadat, it just increases. But if you don't do it for the pleasure of Allah, that for Allah also, but others must see me also, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm the most independent partner. If you associate anybody with me, then give that sawab to that person. You go and collect your reward from that person. And who will able to give us reward on the day of Qiyamah? So this intention of ours is very, very important. Our maqsad should be Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and gaining the happiness of Allah and becoming and getting this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third important aspect to make our salah correctly is khushu and khudu. That is concentration and devotion. And this also is very, very easy and simple. We should understand our deen, ad-deenu yusrun. Deen is very simple. We have got a idea shaitan puts in your mind that deen is difficult. And dunya, if you analyze, it's so hard, it's so difficult. There, but shaitan puts in our mind, no, dunya is easy. You see a poor person going up after Fajr, cold winter's morning, he's going to work. And he's going all day. And just the stress of traffic, then the stress of work. But he enjoys it. No, I'm doing it. Because end of the day, I'm going to get this check. And with that check, if you don't have deen, how much barakat in that check also? Dunya, the deen is so easy. One subhanallah you read, a tree is planted for you in Jannah already. Your scales are filled with sawab already. But we think deen is difficult. So khushu and khudu, concentration and devotion in namaz. If we just work, make little effort, we'll see how easy is this aspect of concentration and devotion. First of all, Hazrat draws our attention here, that don't have a misconception. Concentration and devotion is something else, and absorption, istighraq of namaz is something else. Istighraq is like sometimes we learn in the hadith that a certain sahaba, when they started their namaz, before they knew it was Fajr Azan, they were so absorbed. And like a sahabi, he was reading namaz, a snake fell from the roof and it wrapped itself up in front of the child. And he was performing his namaz, all the household were excited, they were worried, and the big noise. After everything happened, the child was saved, the noise finished. When he finishes salat, he asks him, "You, what you are doing? You didn't see?" Say, "I didn't even hear a thing." So that is absorption, but that is not required of salah. That is not a requirement. That is not what is called khushu and khudu. That is certain people, Allah grants them a special gift, it's understood. What we have to work for is basic concentration. And basic concentration and devotion is the first, and there are many ways, very, very easy ways. The first thing is just be conscious. That is, when you just enter the masjid, before that, I am going in the presence of Allah. So in every rukun, every posture of your namaz, when you stand, even for that 1 second, you are just conscious, I'm in the presence of Allah. And you went in ruku, you were just conscious, I'm in the presence of Allah. That is concentration and devotion. And don't worry, thoughts will come to your mind. If thoughts come on their own, that's no problem. Whole worlds of thoughts can come, no problem. But when you realize you're in the presence of Allah, just remove that thoughts. Don't bring thoughts into your mind. And don't build on that thoughts. Thoughts will come. Our mind is like the superhighway of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. You see all different types of cars, people, animals, everything on that road. But how people are just moving, why they concentrating, they keeping them. So for your heart to be alert, you need to focus your concentration. That is why it's so important the cause of zikrullah. The cause to learn and to make our Islam. So this concentration and devotion, for example, many matters have been explained. One is in every posture, just for a second or so, think I am in the presence of Allah. Hazrat Maulana Madani Rahmatullahi, one of our great elders, made it so easy also. He says, forget in the whole of namaz, you are unmindful. Even in the last part of your namaz, before you make salam, if just for that second you thought that I am in the presence of Allah, your devotion, your concentration came. Although that is just like a very pass mark, a basic pass mark. And nobody just wants a basic pass mark. We have to improve our salah all the time. Another way of establishing concentration and devotion is that just know all what is wajib in namaz, what is farz in namaz, what is wajib, what is sunnat, and what is mustahab. Try and learn these things which we learned in our maktab. If we forgot, alhamdulillah, it takes place here also, but this is just to create the eagerness. If we go home and have talim of based is ever. Talim ul-Haq, Talim ul-Islam, best is ever, very easy kitab. If we have Talim daily, 5 minutes, all this masail will come fresh again. Now you know when I'm standing, when I say Allahu Akbar, I've done a faraz. When I'm standing in namaz, I'm in faraz. When I go in ruku, I'm in a faraz. When I'm reading my Surah Fatiha, I'm doing a wajib. Just to know that is also concentration and devotion. Then further than that you just concentrate, I'm reading now Surah Fatiha. Even if you don't know the meaning, just think I'm reading Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Or if you don't know that also, just try and learn the subject matter of the basic. Our Shaykh says so beautifully, generally most of us here we got 4 patent surahs. And generally the shorter surahs. So even if that's 4 surahs or some of us got more, but just learn how many years we are reading namaz. If we just learn the subject matter, for example, I'm reading now Kul Wallahu Ahad. It deals with Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah. So you just think that now I'm reading about the greatness of Allah. You're in concentration, you're in devotion. And the best is try and get the kitab Miftahul Quran. Very easy to learn that kitab. If you take out 5-10 minutes daily, you'll in a short while learn all the du'as of your salah. You'll learn all the basic surahs, you'll know the meaning, and now you'll able to concentrate much better. So how easy it is, concentration and devotion is very simple, and for this our mind has to be focused, that is why we come here. Otherwise generally we come in the masjid, our minds are still everywhere else, and our body is just here. So to focus this mind, a person does this course, and if he concentrates now, then he'll see how easy, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا لَلْخَاشِئِينَ. Those people who want this khushu, concentration and devotion, and they make little ibadah, little effort, see how enjoyable namaz is. Otherwise it's like a big burden, it's very hard. Maulana, I can't get concentration. No, don't you think of concentration to be absorption. It's got nothing to do with absorption. And the thoughts will come, don't worry of that thoughts. But don't entertain them, don't bring them. Let it come on it. Even the worst thoughts can come in your mind. It comes on its own, no problem. But the moment you get alert, Just don't think about it. You get focused again. The fourth important thing is that try and spend at least 40 days making a practicing on what we will learn these lessons. As it is come, that 40 day period has an effect even in the Allah Ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala creates the child in the womb of the mother. Every 40 day period it takes a metamorphosis. It goes into the next stage, and 40 days generally has an effect on the heart of a person. And that action that is done punctually with 40 days, and Hazrat says here, what takbir-e ula try and do it. And try and be in the first surf. A person who performs his salah 40 days with takbir-e ula, he gets two certificates. Freedom from the fire of Jahannam and freedom from hypocrisy. Now your namaz won't be a namaz of hypocrisy. So we should try and do this practice. We are here, try and build it in those people fortunate who are here 40 days. And that is why to sit in the company of a shaykh 40 days, this will have a great impact on our hearts. So to do this mushk at least 40 days is extremely important. And when a person does this course, and as you realize the greatness of Allah, how great is my Allah, and who am I, who is calling me, the royal invitation I got. Now after that salah, when you did this course, and you learn this bayan, and you learn the sabaks, now you realize at the end of the day, where me and where my Allah. My salah, I am a filthy, useless person. Allah Ta'ala so great. Even you tried your best to perform your salah, but you'll have fear, my salah is not worth being accepted. Now to be conscious whether my salah is successful, whether I'm being successful in my salah or not. In other words, be conscious to increase the quality of our salah. Otherwise it comes clearly in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that people get just a percentage of the reward of their salah. Some get 1/10, some get 100%, very fortunate are those. Some get 90%, some 70, 80, some only get 10%. Some get zero and it's thrown like a dirty rag on their face. So we should be worried. A person who does the scores and after every salah he realizes, I spoiled my namaz. I didn't make mine, then he is improving. But that person who thought, no, today I made a very good namaz, now I'm a big Sufi, then you failed. Because you haven't realized the greatness of Allah. Where can we, our ibadat, be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The more you gain the recognition of Allah, the more we'll realize our weakness, our uselessness, and all the time we will be worried, and then we'll be concerned. Then Hazrat explained the first lesson, what he explained, that a person should gain the recognition of Allah. And as you gain the recognition of Allah, the enjoyment you get in building your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something you cannot explain. And that's supposed to be a natural thing. Any human being, naturally in his heart, he is supposed to be thinking, who is that great being who gave me my life? Who is that great being who's looking after me every split moment? Like if a person puts a basket of fruit at your door every day, export quality, and you open the door, you see export quality, top quality fruit, and he just puts your name, and he doesn't say who he is. A person who's got little intelligence all the time, he'll tell his wife, he'll tell his children, I don't know who's this great person, such a kind man, such a good man. Every day he takes the trouble, he brings us beautiful fruit, where we can even afford it. The Hazrat says, very good, you're talking, you're appreciating him, but did you ever think one step further, who gave me this eyes to see that fruit, free of charge? Who gave me this beautiful tongue to taste all that fruit, etc. So as you get the recognition of Allah, and think how Allah Ta'ala gave me this beautiful body of mine, then Allah gave me my brains. Today we get astonished. One person manufactures one walkie-talkie doll, and you bring it for your granddaughter, and you getting more amused than the granddaughter. See how it's talking, see how it's walking, and you get amused with that toy. Allahu Akbar. This human being, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ الْخَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ. We created you from sand. Now you're moving, you're talking, you're doing this. You're putting up buildings. Now you're making microchips. Now you have made jets. Now you made submarines. Who gave you all this ability? That one small brain we created, besides all the other things, besides your eyes, your ears, your head, your brains, your lungs, your heart, all these things, free of charge. Allah Ta'ala gives us and gave us, and not just gave us, Allah Ta'ala is looking after it all the time. So naturally a person gains the marifat of Allah. As you gain this, you just realize how kind is Allah, how magnificent. Now you want to be in the company of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, no problem. You come 5 times a day in my royal court. I invite you. You don't even have to make an appointment to today get one appointment with one counselor, big red tape. And he thinks he's doing you a favor. The kings of kings says, I'll invite you. And then what an appointment I'll give you. What the whole world's creation I have given one part of ibadat. For example, all the trees, buildings, they are just in qiyam all the time. Animals that are walking, bow down, they are in ruku all the time. Then the insects on the ground, the snakes, etc., they in sajda all the time. So all the malaika, they engage in dua, they engage in tilawat, some engage in durood. All this, every creation of Allah got one aspect of the ibadat. And then in this ibadat also, there's not just salah, then you giving zakah also, because you have to pay for your wuzu, the water, etc. Outwardly we don't think, but amenities we have to pay for, and that's what Hazrat teaches us. Don't live like a parasite, learn to pay. Here also we come, they won't ask us for money, but we should think water and light we are using, and food is supplied. If Allah Ta'ala has given us, we can afford, give it to the responsible people. And realize, my spending is for my benefit. Allah will put it in the account of akhirat. So you're giving zakat also in namaz. In namaz there's roza also. You can't eat. You can't, and to a greater degree, you have to be all the time concentrating upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's hajj also in namaz. You are moving up and down. Then you are making dua. Then tilawat is an extra bonus. Allah Akbar. So the ibadat of all the creation and all the other ibadats put together in one rakat, Allah has given us it. And Allah Ta'ala says, 5 times a day you come. And why you? Because you are my Khalifa, you my Vicegerent. You are my representative. And when I made you my representative, a person only appoints his representative, who he regards, and this is the person worthy of it. I'm going to overseas trip. I put a person that can look after my business. So Allah Ta'ala regarded us as his responsible people. And to be the vicegerent of Allah on the face of the earth, what a great honor it is. Now when a person realizes this salah that I'm coming for, this is a royal invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not just I'm just going and I'm just going to fulfill a duty. It's not a duty. A person realizes the importance of salah. A person realizes what a great gift this is. All the world's treasures in the world cannot pay for one rakat of salah. What is one Mercedes Benz? What is 100 Mercedes Benz? What is having a big degree? 1 minute in the presence of Allah is such a great gift and bounty of Allah Ta'ala. And this is only the favor of Allah. We don't deserve it in the least. But now when a person realizes this, now before time, he realizes Allah Ta'ala is calling me. Now he does his proper preparation. You make your istinja properly. You make your wudu properly. Don't waste your time talking, wasting water, etc. You focus your mind already from there. Now when you come into the namaz, what proper adab, etiquettes, that I'm going into the royal court. Even your clothing, you should think, what type of clothing I must wear. And not what I think is expensive. Today I'm wearing a 3-piece suit, very expensive. But my beloved, well, he loved that clothing of mine. Today, small petty arguments, nikah breaks on the stage. That I told you wear the shoe and you came with another shoe. So if we think we're coming in the court of Allah with the clothes that are appropriate, it's not appropriate. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to realize this great value. And if we concentrate in the sabak, Allah Ta'ala gives us the reality and correct our salah and our whole deen.